Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, quick thing. Just wanted to say we have clothes and accessories and all kinds of stuff like that now at www.mygoodbadbrain.com, which you can buy if you want things like that. And also, if you want to support the pod, you can go to patreon.com/mygoodbadbrain, which really does help immensely. So it's just leaving nice reviews. Okay. Thank you. Theme music.
Welcome to my good bad brain. I'm a normal person, so I'm insane. I've got depression and ADHD, but I'm doing better since I medicated me. I'm still not always sure whether I exist or what being a person even really is, but I figured out a long time ago that being alive is beautiful.
Hi. Welcome back to my good bad brain. When I was a small child, I would sometimes sleep over at my grandmother's house. She lived in the south side of Chicago, and at night the apartment could never truly be dark, as far brighter than the moon or the stars was an entire city skyline, clouds of ambient streetlight all coalesced and seeming to float like fog through the atmosphere. I could hear sirens in the distance, which seemed to shimmer themselves on their edges as if heat mirage could be also heard. The keening sirens never made me think of the bad things that had caused their need, but only of those driving fast to help, like singing city wolves, mournful in tone, but not in essence, strong in the distance, echoing up to me on my grandma's couch. For some reason, this is what I kept thinking of as I listened to your experiences from the Good Bad Brain Hotline. These sounds in the night, maybe the warm timbre of your voicemails, the honesty and sincere performance or expression, I don't know. It's sort of meta. But that thing, I think we can only get alone with a recording device. Though much of speaking of our experiences with mental health challenges is not necessarily pleasant in the traditional sense. On that note, I would say, you know, this is a trigger warning episode for sure. People were wonderful and shared some difficult stories. There's some mentions of suicide and sexual assault stuff and it's good bad brain, man. People are honest and they share about tough stuff. So lots about just mental illness, depression in general. It's not always easy. But I will say, even these difficult stories, or maybe especially them, they're so comforting, what you've done. It is so kind and so, I mean, several of you expressed one way or another being unsure if what you were saying was helpful, hoping that it would be, even going so far as to apologize, perhaps unconsciously, perhaps not. And My dears, my darlings, I don't know how to express this enormously enough, so I will simply say and hope it resonates with you. You are a gift and have nothing to apologize for. This will be our first sharing of the Good Bad Brain Hotline. It has become something so much more beautiful than I imagined it could be, and it is that way because of you. I originally intended to make these tapes each devoted to a single medication or therapy, but your stories were more complicated than that, and more difficult than that, and more beautiful than that, and I think to honor them, I felt they needed to breathe and exist. I did a little bit of editing, and I added some music, thanks to Jason Scartamalia, because I still love the idea of the dream tape, and because I'm theatrical, and I can't escape being a fucking artist, but I did my best to share you honestly and with love. You've been so generous sharing your stories with us. You know, on that artist thing, I am not a healthcare professional, which I mention partly as the requisite disclaimer that you should not receive anything here as any sort of professional advice from any of us, but simply and more vitally as the true experiences of other human beings with good, bad brains like yours, or not like yours, or maybe they're like yours because they're not like yours. You know what I mean? Receive them as stories. I'm still just a person, trying to be, at least, and I still tend to see everything through this lens of artistic expression, and I think Good Bad Brain seems at its best when it is finding this interconnected and rooted place that I have only experienced elsewhere in live theater. There's like a fourth wall separating the audience and the performer, and an anonymity of crowd and character, which somehow impossibly creates this direct channel between souls. But the one thing, the one true thing about my good bad brain that I found to be true over and over and over and over, it is that simply sharing our stories is powerful. I have no agenda with Good Bad Brain. You know, like, I left everything good and bad in here. Some people have good experiences. Some people have bad experiences with medication, you know, things like that. And some people will give their advice, but it's just their advice, you know. I have no agenda here other than doing my best to be honest, doing my best to create a place of validation and invisible community and quiet solidarity. And so in the interest of that, I am going to start sharing your words. I'm going to finish my little intro here. I'm going to kick off with a message I received that I will read, which if you are interested in sharing your story but not comfortable using your voice, you can always send me at mygoodbadbrain@gmail.com or on my Instagram at @Jarrett_sleeper, which I am more likely to miss, but works sometimes. You can also send me audio recordings at that email, mygoodbadbrain@gmail.com, if you're outside the U.S. or something, and the Google Voice number for the hotline, which is 213-537-4033, would cost you money or something, but I digress. So here we go. I thought this message would be a good intro to the experiences shared for the rest of the tape. So. I've never taken any meds for fear of it being the wrong one, for whatever imbalance I may or may not have. There's always been a part of me that is terrified that taking the wrong thing will make it even worse, even more off balance. The fact that some of them take time, weeks, to become effective scares me, because the reverse is true as well, no? If it's the exact wrong drug for me, then it takes weeks to figure it out, and then weeks for it to dissipate. So I've got myself even more jacked up for months with this little brain chemistry experiment, which has been proctored by some asshole who doesn't know me, hasn't even spoken to me for a full fucking hour, and doesn't give a single solitary shit about me. Throw in possible side effects and my analysis paralysis is full throttle. Anywho, I've always wanted to call in to share, but it doesn't feel particularly relevant since you ask for experiences with specific drugs and I have none. Peruse, ignore this at your leisure, dear sir. I never know what's relevant, but I know that anything I have been given from the people who have connected to this strange thing has been so. Thank you. I'm gonna let y'all take over.
Hey, Jared. So I just saw your story on Instagram, and I just wanted to say thank you for doing this project, because I know I've definitely been kind of secret about, well, not secret, but more or less private about, like, my mental health, especially when it comes to my family. I grew up in, like, a family that really is kind of, like, a little bit judgmental. So the medication that I started this past year is Prozac. I just had a series of mental breakdowns and panic attacks and anxiety attacks and just like episodes where I would like completely disassociate. So I went to a doctor, got it diagnosed, sure enough, do have anxiety. And I got prescribed Prozac. So starting off with Prozac, I went in small dosages to get my body used to it. And then I started a higher dosage, and right off the bat, like, it made me feel really happy, and it kind of made me seem like, it seemed like the world was in color and that everything was like brighter and happier, and the world wasn't really part of my language, but a shitty place. And then one day I had a huge panic attack at during a drive to school, and I had read the side effects of Prozac, and sure enough, it was like, basically, there's going to be days where your medication, where Prozac is going to give you anxiety attacks, but that's just like a side effect of it, which is really kind of stupid because it's a medication for anxiety, but yet it causes anxiety, hit or miss. Yeah, that sucks. So I stopped taking Prozac after like a day of not taking Prozac. I just felt worse than I did than even before starting the medication, and it was just really this like weird kind of like mood or like funk that I was in for like a week straight.
Hey, Jarrett. So first time it really hit me that I needed to go on medicine, I was a senior in high school. And instead of going to a psychiatrist, I went to my doctor. I let her know what was going on. And the first thing she prescribed was Prozac. It was the best decision of my life. The best thing that could have happened to me, honestly. It was the best thing that happened to me in a long time in that point. Because 1 week after taking it, it was like I woke up a new person. And, like, so much weight had been lifted off my shoulders, and I could think clearly. I could eat normally. I was sleeping better. I wasn't thinking about self-harm. I wasn't thinking about how bad everything was. I could just live instead of existing. And that was such a powerful moment for me. I got really lucky with Prozac, and I am so grateful for it. I would say my story is probably not the typical. Some people, their first dose is like either not enough or too much. Would not recommend going off of your medication much, because little known fact, it reduces the effectiveness in your brain. So this summer I was hospitalized and basically had my med reevaluated. Found out that when you stop taking your meds, they lose their effectiveness, and I had to start over. So they prescribed me lamotrigine and Latuda. I believe they are both antipsychotics, which sounds kind of scary, but for a lot of people who struggle with depression and post-traumatic stress, these are very important medications. I remember in the hospital, I was having really weird symptoms, like brain fog. About a week or so after I was out of the hospital, I was having brain zaps. I don't know if anyone has ever had that happen, but you feel like weird pulsating, zapping in your brain, like not on your skin, but like in your brain. It is very uncanny, very uncomfortable. And as someone who struggles with health anxiety, it's extremely difficult. But can be a normal part of the process. But I would always recommend anyone who has that symptom to please notify a doctor or health professional, because it could be something bad. In my case, it was not bad. But I've been on these medications for 6 months now, and they have really helped me become a more effective and lively person. I can't imagine, you know, if I had stayed on fluoxetine that I had stopped taking for a while, if I had just stayed with it and I hadn't gone to the hospital, I don't know where I would be in my mental health journey. So yeah, I hope that's helpful and important. You're doing great work. Thanks.
So when I was in high school, which was about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with depression, and I later found out that I was misdiagnosed. Oh, well, sort of, because I have bipolar depression, and depression is subsumed by bipolar disorder, for me anyway. And so back then, I was prescribed Wellbutrin, and that was really weird. Within, like, a few days of, like, first time to take it, I noticed that I was, like, having these, like, weird racing thoughts about, like, I don't know, biting people. And then I told my psychiatrist, and she was like, oh, you're having mania, which was the first sign that this was misdiagnosed as depression instead of bipolar. But instead of knowing that, she gave me a different medication, which I think was Abilify, to sort of stabilize that mania. And that worked out fine, but then I noticed that my hearing started changing. Like, everything, voices stayed the same, but sound specifically, everything seemed like a tone lower. And for someone that was going through depression, that was kind of like a weird thing to have to experience all of your favorite songs over again and different from what you remembered and found comfort in. I have to catch the bus now, but if that helps anyone, I don't know if that will help anyone, because that's pretty weird. Medication, thinking, hearing. I'm not on that medication anymore, by the way. I'm on Lamictal now. Lamictal's a good mood stabilizer, as long as you don't get the rashes. Bye, Jared.
Hey, Jared. I'm 30 years old. When I was about 24, I was on Prozac for about 3 months, and my overwhelming feeling was that I couldn't feel my emotions. That's how I felt on Prozac. And it kind of caused me to act out in ways that I was actually trying to avoid that were likely causing my depression, such as staying up too late, drinking too much with friends or by myself, because I was trying to feel things that I wasn't feeling, as opposed to what I was expecting from an antidepressant. It wasn't my first antidepressant. I think that was my second. I took Zoloft first in college, and then Prozac I took a substantial amount of time afterwards. But I was expecting to just feel able to manage my feelings more so than not feel them at all. So that's kind of the experience I had with Prozac. And I went on Wellbutrin after that, had a similarly disheartening experience in terms of just not really being able to deal with emotions, but just having them blocked altogether. So that's my experience with that. I hope that's helpful.
Hi, I've taken every medicine that's been readily available to me. I've been inpatient over 13 times in one residential treatment facility. So I struggled with a lot of things in my life. I was molested when I was 4, and I don't know, that kind of really affected me. So I grew up like with a really bad, like, this is my fault kind of thing. And I developed schizophrenia whenever I was like 14, and that didn't go out well. I started to have really bad heart problems, and so I have to start going in for treatment for that. I've tried killing myself like too many times to count even, and it was very tiring because it's just like, it's fucking trying to kill yourself, it's hard work. Like, that's not something that I want to do. It just felt necessary, if that makes sense. I'm a trans woman, so like being on estrogen and stuff, everything is intensified. And so I have borderline personality disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and PDNOS. I'll probably just mainly describe my experience with my eating disorder here. I was in high school, and I was trying like all these diets and stuff like that, and then eventually I started taking a bunch of diet soaps. I would take like upwards of 13 a day. I would take like 5 different kinds and take them 3 times a day. It was crazy. Then I started throwing up. In the morning, I would tell my mom that I'd eat breakfast at school, and I didn't. I was on the free lunch program, so I felt super guilty about like not eating whenever I was there. What I did was I just used it and got like a Diet Coke. And so I would like, I wouldn't consume any calories throughout the day other than like maybe like less than 10 that are like, contained in the diet pill capsules, like being gelatin and vegetative and stuff like that. And then at the end of the day, my mom would cook dinner most nights, if not all of them. And I would throw it up. So I restricted myself to under 400 calories, even if I was eating. So that way, whenever I purged, you retain about anywhere from 10% to more, depending on how quickly you vomit afterward or purge. So that way I was consuming less than 100, like for sure, no matter what. And I was dropping pounds like it was nothing. I was losing 2 pounds a day. I eventually got to a point where the weight loss was slowing down because my metabolism was shutting down. And so my mom took me in to a facility, and they got me on a nose drip thingy, a food tube. It was horrible. That's when I realized that I had a problem, and it was insane. So I went there, and I had to go every day. I wasn't allowed to weigh myself. I don't know how to describe other words. And like, it was just ridiculous. My brain was so fuzzy. And I wasn't even able to complete like schoolwork. I would just be sitting in the nurse's office all day. Like, it was ridiculous. I'm sorry, I'm kind of rambling. You're probably not even gonna hear this. I don't know. I've had relapses here and there, and as a medication for, being and having an eating disorder, there really is none. They give you like an antidepressant, and since I was bulimic, they gave me this medicine. It's called naltrexone. It's for people who have opioid addiction. It supposed to like stop the brain function from like making it feel good to purge. And so that helped a lot in my recovery, but it's not long-term medication. So it's like I was on it for a month and I gained like less than half of what I lost. And so I don't know. I feel like, especially with eating disorders, there is no remission. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I threw up yesterday. It's not becoming like, you know, 3 times a day like it was, or once not eating like it was, but I don't know. That sounds silly. Sorry. But yeah, I don't know. I definitely feel like the whole body issue stemmed from being molested at a young age. And it definitely didn't help that I wasn't comfortable in my body in the first place. Like, you know, trying to accept myself as a man, but I wanted to be a skinny man, but I'm really a woman. You know, I don't know. Whatever. You don't even want to hear it. I'm so sorry. Bye.
Hi. I am taking Wellbutrin, and besides that, I self-medicate with alcohol way too frequently. I was on Wellbutrin for a few months for my anxiety and depression, and within those few months, I did try to commit suicide and failed, luckily, I think. And so now I'm scared to take it again, even though the doctor recommends it. The doctor also put me on Antabuse, which is a medication that will make me incredibly ill if I drink any alcohol, which I took for a bit, but have stopped, and I'm still self-medicating with alcohol. I don't know why I'm calling.
Hi, Jarrett. I'm probably older than most of the people that are going to call because your audience is probably younger. I'm 49, and I suffered with anxiety and depression and panic attacks. The anxiety and panic attacks actually started when I was around 2. One of my very first memories is my first panic attack. And I languished with that until I was 30. It got so bad that I became agoraphobic. And I finally, to my primary doctor, I said, "Hey, is there anything we can do about my anxiety?" And I even said, I told him, you know, my aunt had gone on Paxil, and I said it worked really well for her. Do you think Paxil? Because I've also had really bad social anxiety. Let me put that in there. Do you think Paxil would help? He put me on Paxil, and it's like someone turned on the lights. Things went from black and white to color. I was able to get out of the house again. I was not having anxiety. I was not having panic attacks. Wasn't having depression. I did not get an official diagnosis until my mid-30s when I actually decided to do some therapy when I was going through a divorce. My actual diagnosis is a generalized anxiety disorder with panic attacks, and general depression. There's some things in there about me having issues with authority, and in the past they said that I was prone to histrionics, which I'm kind of a drama queen, so yeah, it's probably true. And avoidance issues, which I don't have anymore, thanks to medication. I medicate the crap right out of that. My experiences have been good. I have had no side effect issues with anything. I have responded really well to everything. And I know that is not the case with a lot of people. But I think also, I see a lot, like in the internet world, where people aren't waiting long enough for it to work. I know that people don't respond well, always respond well to medication, or sometimes it takes like a 30 days and they give up before that 30 days because they just want relief of their anxiety. But I always encourage people, just listen to your doctor, do what your doctor says, you know, be compliant. And but be also be very vocal and very honest with them with any concerns you have. And that's just the only way it's going to work for you. I did do therapy after my divorce because I was in an abusive relationship. And I dedicated 2 years of my life to making myself better in a multitude of ways, in like every way, spiritually, physically, emotionally. So that I never do that again. I never allow that again. And I was in therapy, and it was great. I got my head straight, and we got my meds straight. And, you know, I know some people feel shame for the mental illness, and I did. But it's one reason I didn't get help till I was 30. I want to say that since I'm 49, and I've been in treatment for 19 years for my mental illness, I feel like I can impart, you know, because of the length of time, I can impart at least a little tiny bit of wisdom. Don't be ashamed of being mentally ill. If you want to get technical, everybody's got something that's not right in some way about them. We are all messed up. No one's perfect. And there is no shame in being mentally ill. It is just simply no different than like having freckles or, you know, being born with some kind of like little defect or something, you know, a heart defect or whatever. You literally were born going to have these problems. It is literally your biological makeup. And it's not like it's something you did. And it's not like it's something shameful. I mean, there's nothing shameful in it. You were born that way, and that is how you were meant to be, you know. And so you need some medication, so you need some therapy. So what? You know, people with like heart defects and things like that need medication and you know, the doctor and things like that. You need to just look at it that way, like it is no different than like a biological, physical issue that you would take medication for or see a doctor for. It's the same thing. And if people can't handle it, maybe those people don't need to be in your life because they're judging you for something you can't help, and that's not fair. Okay, that's all I have to say. That's all I wanted to say. Bye.
Thanks again to Coda for making our theme song with me, and Jason Scardamalia for all the wonderful music in today's tape. If you would like to anonymously include your story and future editions of the MGBB hotline, please feel free to call 213-537-4033 and leave a message. It will cut you off in 3 minutes, but if you call back with more to say, I will figure it out and put them together. If you dig the pod, check out patreon.com/mygoodbadbrain and... oh... new stuff. We also have various merch items available at mygoodbadbrain.com. I especially like the stuff I made with this little dopey on it, who's just like a sweetie little baby dopamine molecule. I started drawing to remember at least some parts of my brain just want me to feel okay. Okay. Hydrate. Self-care. Be well.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited-edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.